And the Oscar goes to Anthony Hopkins. I mean,
I knew you were going to start with that.
Well, of course, because that was like, that was huge. I mean, I literally gasped when he won.
Yeah, I know. I was expecting Chadwick Boseman to win because, in all honesty, in my mind, one or two things was going to happen. You know, they're going to have a big presentation like they did with Tyler Perry, where they're going to be in memory of Chadwick Boseman, and they're give him a posthumous award or something, or he was going to win Best Actor.
Yeah.
And
yeah, no, that's what I thought they were going to do. But okay, so here's where it gets controversial. I gasped because the right actor won the award. And okay, I know a lot of y'all are probably rolling your eyes right now, but the right actor won Best Actor.
You know, I 100% agree. Because even I think when you were texting, you went back and watched Ma Rainey's I forget the name.
Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. It's on Netflix. If you ever want to watch it, it's there.
Yeah, it is, and it's honestly a great movie.
Yes,
but when you go back and watch it, and you actually look at Chadwick Boseman's role, you know, impartially, just looking at the role by itself, it's more of a supporting actor role.
It is a supporting, and that movie itself is a. It's an ensemble piece, and I had to look it up, and sure enough, it is based off of a play. And even the movie is kind of like, it looks like a play because you have two sets, and it just takes place on those two sets. Well, there is chunks of the movie where he's not there, mm-hmm. like he's just not there in the movie. And when it was over, I was like, that was good, but it was best supporting actor. Not best actor. Like there was no way he should have won. He should have been nominated for best actor. But here's what Netflix did, I bet. They put him in best actor because I think he had a better chance of winning because he would have been up against Kaluuya for Judas and Black Messiah. There's no way anybody was going to beat him for best supporting actor.
I think you're right. There's no way. Because his performance in Judas and the Black Messiah was phenomenal. Do I think that Viola Davis got snubbed as best actress? 100%.
I 100% agree with you. Yeah, the whole time she's acting, my wife just keeps saying, how did Frances McDormand win this? Like, how did she win best actress? And again, don't get me wrong, Frances McDormand is amazing. She's a great actress. But this particular role for her in Nomadland was just kind of underwhelming. I was very just like, okay.
It really was. I felt like Nomadland, the movie itself, the way it was shot, the story it was telling, kind of overshadowed Frances McDormand's performance. Not to say that her performance was bad, but compared to, you know, Viola Davis, in her performance in her movie, I think you're 100% correct. I mean, she honestly should have won the Oscar for that.
But we're not even talking about Carey Mulligan in Promising Young Woman.
Oh my God! Yeah,
she was also very, very, very good at that movie, and it was just one of those things. Like, I don't know, my wife always, she's like, Frances McDormand just plays herself now. It's like that's the role she's playing. It's just that's you, and just do this part.
And we're not even talking Vanessa Kirby in Pieces of a Woman.
Yeah, like, yeah,
that movie was absolutely phenomenal.
You got to catch that one?
Yeah, nice. I did. Because, you know, it's Vanessa Kirby, and you also have Shia LaBeouf playing in it as a supporting role.
Yeah.
But it's all about Vanessa Kirby, and her performance in this movie is absolutely amazing. But you're right. If you watch all these movies, and you look at these actresses side by side in each of their respected roles and how they perform it, how they embody the character, there's a clear winner, and it's Viola Davis.
Yeah.
Why they gave it to Frances McDormand, I do not know. Am I a little peeved at it? A little bit. But I'm not really mad at it. Because if I had to rank them, it would be Viola Davis. Frances McDormand would edge out Vanessa Kirby, then Carey Mulligan, and then Andra Day.
Yeah. And I heard something that they said, like, the Academy probably didn't even watch the Pieces of a Woman and then the Holiday versus the, like they said, most of the Academy probably didn't even watch those movies. They only watched those, you know, Promising Young Woman No Man's Land and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
I don't know if I believe that, to be honest with you, because like,
hey, who knows?
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure. I mean, the Academy probably has assistance upon assistance upon assistance, yeah, to watch the movies for them, give them their recaps and what they thought about each individual thing. But I mean, I tried. You tried as well. We watched most of the movies that were nominated.
Yeah.
But it's hard because there's a lot. What was the biggest surprise for you?
The biggest, I mean, Anthony Hopkins winning Best Actor by far, I think, was the biggest surprise because I had watched The Father that night before the Oscars. I was like, I want to watch this. I was going to rent both Minari and The Father, but I was like, you'll watch Minari, I'll watch The Father. So,
yeah.
And I was just amazed at his performance in that movie, and I was blown away at how well he did in this movie. And some people are calling it one of his best performances ever, and that's saying a lot for Anthony Hopkins. And it's up there. It's up there. So when he won, for me, that was a big surprise because for once, like I said, it felt like the Academy gave it to the one who deserved it, as opposed to some years, they do the whole, like, it's your turn to win. Like, your career has led to this, like DiCaprio winning for The Revenant. Everybody
he
was
deserved
like,
it for The Revenant.
So I don't know.
His performance in The Revenant was pretty
phenomenal. It got to the point where it was like, he did this for the movie, he did this for the movie. And you're like, it's like you have to do that to win an Oscar. You have to, I think since De Niro did what he did for Raging Bull, or yeah, like the transformation he did. Like
that's or Joaquin Phoenix, or well, yeah, even Heath Ledger.
Yeah, well, yeah. So that's what I'm saying is like after De Niro did Raging Bull, the standard was you have to physically put your body through hell to win your award. You know,
yeah.
And it was like, wow, like really, that's what you have to do. And I remember one of my buddies, Larry. You know, we work with him. He said it's called acting for a reason. You're supposed to make people think that you're doing it, not actually put yourself in those situations. Like, what did he had to like crawl into a dead horse or something, and he was out in the cold, he was in the freezing water, and it was like, look at that, he needs to win. And it was like, but was that movie the movie he should have won Best Actor for? DiCaprio?
No.
Yeah. What's Eating Gilbert Grape? The Aviator.
Yeah.
I mean, he should have been nominated for The Departed, but he was nominated for Blood Diamond that year.
Yeah, he should have been nominated. He should have won for Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, he should have won for Wolf of Wall Street. I honestly think that he should have been nominated and won for Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, that movie was amazing. It was amazing. And Tom Hanks. Oh,
yeah.
God.
And then The Aviator, for sure. I was like, dude, this dude is amazing. And he didn't win for The Aviator. And so all these years later, they were like, okay, he almost killed himself. Here's your Oscar. Like, here it is. Here's your Oscar. And but then that same year, Michael Fassbender does Steve Jobs. Yeah. And I was like, that was one of the greatest performances I've seen in a long time.
I think that was kind of controversial because I think within a year or two, maybe the same year, Ashton Kutcher did the same thing.
Yeah, but which one was better?
Oh, Michael Fassbender, 100%.
Well, yeah, because you had Aaron Sorkin writing the script. And so, he did. I don't know. For me, some of these Oscar wins are just like, wow, like you really gave it to this. For instance, The Godfather Part Two and Chinatown came out the same year. Jack Nicholson and Al Pacino both gave just the greatest performances ever. Mm-hmm. And they gave it to Art Carney, I think, that year because he was older and they were like, it's your year to win. And everybody was like, but did you see Pacino? Did you see Nicholson? Like, and so then all these years later, Al Pacino wins for Scent of a Woman, which, yeah, good movie, good performance.
But it wasn't Godfather Part Two.
It wasn't Godfather Part Two. You know, it wasn't it wasn't Pacino's best performance. And I think he pushed out another great actor that year. Like, people were like, well, this actor obviously gave their best performance. You know, so this was the year that I was like, oh my gosh, they actually gave it to the actor who did the best job.
Yeah.
So that was
I haven't seen The Father yet. I'm going to watch it, and I'm waiting for my wife to actually get in the mood to watch it because it's one of those movies that you have to pay attention to, and it can get a little rough from what James has been telling me.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't doubt that his performance is absolutely phenomenal because it's Anthony Hopkins. I mean, this guy won an Oscar being on screen less than 15 minutes for, you know, Silence of the Lambs. Like,
yeah. You don't do that. Nobody else does that.
Nobody else does that. You know what I mean? And then you go watch him in one of my favorite movies from him is The Right. And it's absolutely amazing when you see the part where he is possessed and it's just like, holy crap, that's Anthony Hopkins.
Well, you know, I liked him last year in The Two Popes.
Oh, yeah. Last year was phenomenal.
I thought he was really great. And that was you and I had an argument because, oh my gosh, what's the actor's name? The lead actor in The Two Popes. What was his name?
I forgot.
It's not Price. Is it Price?
It might be. Hold on.
I know he's in Pirates of the Caribbean. Jonathan Price. I thought he deserved Best Actor last year. And you're like, it's Joaquin Phoenix.
It was Joaquin 100%.
Yeah, I know, but I really wanted Jonathan Price. But anyways, but yeah. So Anthony Hopkins gives this performance, and the movie itself is really well made in The Father. Like, it's one of those movies that as you're watching it, you're going to realize, oh, as depressing as it is, I have to watch it again because there's stuff hidden in the background that you have to pay attention to. And the ending, I was in tears at the very end because his delivery that he gives at the very end, I was just heartbroken, and it was beautiful. And I'm glad he won. And I know there was a whole big controversy, and that was the reason they said they pushed Best Actor for the last award, because they never do that.
It's usually Best Picture.
It's always been. I mean, since the 70s, it's been Best Picture, which that's a pretty long time to be doing something. And then at the very end, you switch it because the producers thought Chadwick Boseman was going to win, and they thought it would be a nice send-off. But the Academy didn't think so. And so a lot of people said that Anthony Hopkins stole the award. I disagree.
I don't think he stole the award. He
deserved and he earned that award.
And if you're wondering where he was and why he wasn't there to accept it, I've already seen the comments and articles of people like, oh, well, that's why Anthony Hopkins wasn't there to accept the award, because he knew he stole it. He didn't. He was in Wales visiting his father's grave in his home.
Yeah, he was with his family.
He's 82 years old. He doesn't need to steal anything.
Yeah, and even then, he would have been at one of the satellite sites. He probably would have been in London. He wouldn't even been in America to do that part.
Let's backtrack a little bit. I know we've been talking about a couple of the some of the awards, the major ones at least. Let's talk about the Oscars themselves.
Okay. Because yeah, we need to talk about that.
Because it was kind of weird.
It was very weird, but. Okay, I will say, given the situation of the pandemic, given the situation of what they had to work with, they kind of did a good job.
They did. But
it was still weird.
It was really weird. One, they were at Union Station, right? Now, this is the first time I've ever seen the Oscars on a satellite location other than some type of big theater, because usually they're at a theater.
Yeah, they're at the Dolby Theater.
Yeah, the Dolby Theater. But now this year they're at the Union Station, and the location was picked because Union Station is probably one of the most historic buildings in LA.
Yeah,
it's been around for forever. Mm-hmm. The architecture is absolutely phenomenal for that building, and I think it just had a restoration done to it.
It looked like it did.
And so I think that's kind of why they picked that location for the Oscars. One, because the restoration was just done, and the architecture is absolutely beautiful, which is all fine. I 100% agree with that. But then why fill the space with scaffolding and platforms? And that's all you see when they're showing the Oscars. You see the scaffolding that all the speakers are hanging on and the lights are hanging on. You see the platforms that people are sitting on.
Well, they wanted to make it like raw. I mean,
make it raw. Then make it like a 1940s award show with just one podium and then everybody sitting on the ground, so you can appreciate the architecture of the building.
True. Well, Soderbergh, in case you don't know, he was one of the producers. He's actually never produced an Oscars before, but he directed Traffic. He directed the Oceans Trilogy. He's directed a lot of movies. He's a phenomenal director. So he was in charge, and two other people, of producing this year's Oscars. And his whole thing was, if it's always been done that way, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I want to do something new this year. And it looked, it was a gamble It was risky, but in the end, I don't think it was.
I don't think it was bad. It was just weird, and I wasn't expecting it. It wasn't the traditional Oscars that I was used to watching, and I guess I just need to open my. I need to go back and rewatch it and just open my mind to it a little bit more. I also need them to get past this no host deal.
I mean,
because they kind of had Questlove up there DJing and like hosting, mm-hmm. and I'm doing air quotes on this because he was, but he wasn't. And it all goes back to Kevin Hart and his debacle a couple years ago when they pulled the host. Cause for a long time it was, what's his name? He's a talk show host.
Well, I mean, Jimmy Kimmel did 2 years in a row, which is a pretty big deal. They thought he was going to be the new, Bob Hope and just do every year after that. But what I've heard is it's actually not a great gig to have.
It really isn't.
They say you don't have a lot of say. You're only paid, it sounds like, you're only paid like $15,000 to $20,000 to do this, which is...
It's chump change for these folks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's some like they're donating their time.
Yeah.
But still, having a host to kind of keep the pace of the show and be that comedic relief in between awards and... to me, it brings a certain value to the award show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you go back and you watch, you know, the CMAs or you watch the Golden Globes, you know, they all have hosts and it for me, having a host on the Oscars would benefit them more.
Yeah.
I understand that it's not that great of a gig. You don't really get paid a lot. You don't have any say in what happens, but you can keep the pace. You can write your own jokes. And as long as it's nothing too crazy, you can have fun with it. And I think that kind of took out a lot because I felt like with this Oscars, it was just go, 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 go. They tried doing this little skit and game, you know, in the middle of it.
That was so weird, man. I mean, Glenn Close got her moment to shine.
Yeah, Glenn Close got her moment to shine. But you had Andra Day, I don't know what she said, but it wasn't very nice.
it was just a really strange format. And then plus the whole, like, they didn't want to play anyone off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been one of the big things throughout the years where like an actor and what's really messed up is you'll have an actor you'll have like one of the technical guys, like sound editing or editor, and he'll get up there and start to talk and they start to play him off. Mm-hmm. And then he has to hurry up and wrap up and leave. But then when the best actor, best actress wins, they let them talk for as ever long as they want. So this year, Soderbergh said, well, we're not going to show any clips from any of the movies. We're not going to have any songs in this awards show, which every year...
Well, they showed some clips of some movies, didn't they?
Some clips, but not like every year. What they'll do is they'll have someone come out and say, like, here is your look at The Father. And then they'll show like a reel of the movie and blah, 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 blah. And then it goes off. And then later on in the show, someone else will come out and say, here is the nomination for Best Picture for Nomadland. And then they'll show the clips. Yeah. They didn't do any of that this year. And it was really weird. It was really weird that there was no clips shown of the movies that were nominated until the very, very, very end.
I did like some of them because they would come out and they would talk about like the best animation films or, you know, the best producers. Like they would talk about how they got into movies or when they got their
starts.
Yeah,
that was great.
I thought that was fantastic.
That was amazing.
I mean, I thought, and they would, you know, highlight them and talk about some of their histories. I thought that was really cool. I do agree with you, like not showing the movie clips and not showing those things. That was, again, very weird. And
it's very strange.
We get it. They're trying something new. They're seeing if it works, but I don't think they need to deviate that far from the original.
Yeah, they really went the other direction with a lot of the stuff. And it was, and like having the best music played before the Oscars was really strange because normally in the Oscars, throughout the show, they'll have the nominees for best songs playing throughout the night. Whereas this year they had it all before, to where if you didn't watch the pre-show, you missed it. Like I missed it all. I didn't realize that that's what they were doing. And so with that, they had time to let people just talk. And man, some of them talked for like a couple of minutes. And it was like, oh my goodness, like they're going to let them just keep going.
So let's kind of just run down real quick. So Best Picture went to Nomadland. Other nominees was The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank, Minari, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, Trial of the Chicago 7. We've seen all of these except for, I haven't seen The Father yet.
And I haven't seen Minari yet.
Yeah, but we each watched. Yeah.
So who did you want to win Best Picture?
Best Picture, honestly, I wanted it to go to Mank.
I wanted it to go to Mank as well.
Just because it was something that we had never seen before from David Fincher. Mm-hmm. And it was a very original screenplay, very well written, and very well put together in terms of production, cinematography. The actors all came together, and the movie overall was fantastic. I see why Nomadland won. It was different. It was, and like I told you before, it was two scenes away from being a documentary.
Yeah, it was two scenes away from just following Frances McDormand around and being like, just figure out how they live, you know? That would be the documentary.
Yeah, it really was. But I don't know. I feel like that was a snub to David Fincher. No, not taking anything away from the other movies. They were all fantastic. I think Sound of Metal probably could have had a chance of beating out.
That's my other.
The other two.
If Mank hadn't won, I would have wanted Sound of Metal to be the best picture.
Sound of Metal was by far a fantastic film.
Well, I mean, I didn't see Minari, but you can you know, correct me. But from what I watched, Sound of Metal was the only one that ended happily. like it ended and you were like, oh.
Well, Mank kind of handed
it. Okay, Mank. It was a little bittersweet at the very end when it's how they win the Oscars and how, anyways. But I mean, it was bittersweet. Whereas with Sound of Metal, when it ended, you were like, "Yeah,
he finally found his piece.
That is beautiful.
It's gorgeous."
But then all the other movies, they ended, and you're just like, "Oh,
I know."
Like, really? Did I just put myself through? You know, I want to feel happy when I watch these movies, not depressed as hell. You know,
Sound of Metal. I mean, I remember we watched it and. You know, my wife, she's not as big as moviegoer as I am, but even she was like, wow, like, holy crap, that was a great movie.
Yep.
And we had watched, I forgot what we had watched before that.
I think you had watched Nomadland, right? Or was it Promising Young Woman?
We watched Promising Young Woman. Yeah. And she liked it, but she was like, that was kind of depressing.
Yeah. You know, my wife said the same thing, but then my wife was also like, she loved the way it ended, though, because it even though, it's a depressing ending, there's something happy at the very end that makes you just go, ooh, that was pretty cool, you know? But, that movie went nowhere where I thought it was going to go. Promising Young Woman, which is what I loved, which is why it won Best Original Screenplay, and I knew it was going to win Best Original Screenplay.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm kind of upset about, too, because I think Mank should have won.
If Mank had been nominated, I would have been upset. But
David Fincher, him not being nominated was a big snub. David Fincher's father put his heart and soul into that script.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing original script. And I remember when we first heard about it, like, oh yeah, it's about Citizen Kane. No, it's not about Citizen Kane.
No, it's not. It's about, And you know, I think they didn't nominate it because Promising Young Woman, I think, needed to win. You know what I mean? And she did a great job. That was a great script. And she did win her best original screenplay.
So,
We're just jumping all over the place. What else?
Best director. Chloe Zhao won for Nomadland, and
I'm okay with that because the way she did film the movie, the format that she did do it on, it worked. It was really she did a really good job,
and she did it all. From my understanding, she directed, she produced it,
she edited the movie.
Yeah. Like she really dug down deep into that movie. And this is the one winner that I'm not really mad about. Now, of course, I wanted David Fincher to win, but that's just personal preference. But you know, researching what she did in that movie and how she made it, I was actually I get behind Chloe Zhao. And now she is one of how many women to win Best Director?
Two.
One of two women to win Best Director. That is insanely absurd.
Yeah, it's like, insanely absurd.
It's not the fact that she won, the fact that there's only two women to have won Best Director in the entire history, in the 93 years of the Academy Awards.
And they were all within the last 21 years.
That's insane.
Catherine Bigelow won for Zero Dark Thirty. The Hurt Locker. And then now she wins in 2021 for Nomadland. So, it was... it's one of those things. It's like, it's about time. Like good grief, you know. And then what else do we have? Best supporting actor. Was that the next one? Or what else do you have out there?
Actress in the role, which you already talked about with Frances McDormand.
Yeah.
Congratulations to her. Again, my opinion as well as James's is I think the award should have went to Viola Davis. Actor in a leading role, which we've already touched on, Anthony Hopkins. Again, Chadwick Boseman probably would have won Best Supporting Actor had he been nominated for that, but it's hard to beat out that actor from
Judas from and Black Messiah, who did win. And who were the other nominations for Best Supporting Actor? Do you have them there?
Actor in a supporting role, you had Sacha Baron Cohen, Trial of Chicago 7, which his performance was absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Leslie Odom Jr., One Night in Miami, which that's one I didn't see.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance
to watch that one. Understanding, it was kind of rough.
Oh, okay.
Just because it was really kind of slow and methodic. Mm. But I may be wrong again. I'll probably go back and watch it. I can't say this guy's name. Paul Raci, R-A-C-I?
R-A-C-I, I think so, yeah.
Paul Raci for Sound of Metal, which... He did a fantastic job. Yeah,
he did a great job in that movie.
Fantastic job. And Lakeith Stanfield, Judas and the Black Messiah. Again, we talked about this the other
day. Yeah, that was such a weird nomination. That was such a weird. Really weird
is because you can argue Daniel and Lakeith for supporting actor, but you can also argue that Lakeith Stanfield did a heck of a job and could have earned a nomination for Best Actor.
Yeah. If they would have switched Chadwick Boseman and Lakeith Stanfield, I think that would have been a better, it would have made more sense. But then again, Chadwick Boseman still would not have had a chance to win because of who's in the category with him. And as we know, Daniel Kaluuya won for Best Supporting Actor, and his speech was very weird. His speech was very strange. And did you hear what he said? He was like, life is great. Look, my mom and dad, they met, they had sex, they had me. It's awesome. And they showed his mom, like, I think his sister's there or somebody. They just were like, what did he just say? Like, it was very.
I don't think he was expecting to win. There's no other reasoning for that kind of a speech other than if he was either, you know, a little off balance due to some outside chemicals or substances. I don't know.
There's no way he didn't know he was going to win.
I mean, Sacha Baron Cohen did a fantastic job.
He's the only Chicago 7. Yeah, he's the only one I would have wanted to win.
If it wasn't Daniel Kaluuya, I'm sorry, I apologize. I can't.
We're from Texas. Go easy on us, please.
Sacha Baron Cohen would have been my pick as well. Yeah. Actress in a supporting role. This one was fun for me. Yoo Jung Yoon from Minari 1, older South Korean lady. Mm-hmm. I think first Korean actor to win Best Supporting Actress.
I believe so, yeah. All these years, yeah.
Yeah, all these years. Best Supporting Actress. She beat out Glenn Close. This is the 8th time Glenn Close has been snubbed.
Jeez. Poor Glenn Close, man.
If you watched Hillbilly Elegy, Glenn Close deserved that Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, it was really. I know she wasn't a favorite, but I've also heard people like you and you as well say like she did a phenomenal job in the movie.
Yeah, she completely immersed herself. You couldn't tell it was her in her acting, and it wasn't just the makeup and immersing into the role. It was the way she delivered the role. But again, Hillbilly Elegy is one of those movies where you can argue between her and Amy Adams. Mm-hmm. Who deserved it more, who was the leading role, because they were equally in the same So it was a really hard choice. But Yoon Jung-yoon, she was fantastic in Minari. I'm glad that she won it. Her acceptance speech, did you catch it?
Yeah, I went back and watched it.
Absolutely amazing.
It was so beautiful.
She paid homage to Glenn Close and to all the other nominees. She says, I'm luckier than you, I guess.
Yeah, she's like, we're all great, but I guess I was just lucky. Like, that's all.
And then at the very end, she goes, I want to thank my two sons for making me go out and work.
Yeah, she says, mommy did good. Like, something to the effect of, like, mommy did good. Like, mama did the work, and I was really happy that she won. And I like that she said, Brad Pitt, where were you while we were making the movie, because he's the executive producer of that movie. And I guess she was like,
to finally get to meet you.
Like I felt like your name's on the movie. How come I didn't meet you the whole time? Which makes me realize that Brad Pitt was probably like, oh, that's a good movie. I'm going to put my just a couple of bucks. I'll put my name on it. There we go.
Here's a check. Yeah. Let me know what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
best original song, Fight For You from Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yeah.
Hear My Voice was the other song nominated. Shusevic from Eurovision Song Contest, Story of Fire Saga.
I cannot believe that song was nominated for best.
Lo Si Sin, The Life Ahead, which is a foreign film. Fantastic song. Speak Now from One Night in Miami. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big song person, but I did listen to all of these songs, and I have to say that Fight For You was probably my favorite out of all of them. So I wasn't surprised.
That one won. Okay. Yeah.
All right. This one, enough. I had fun with this. And Best Animated Feature.
Yeah.
Soul, Onward, Over the Moon, A Shaun the Sheep Movie, Farmageddon, and Wolfwalkers. I loved all of these movies.
I'm happy that Shaun of the Sheep is still like, they're still making those movies. You know what I mean? Like, these movies have been around for a long time and they're still pumping these things.
And I can't get over the animation for Shaun of the Sheep. Like, yeah. I love that clay animation, the way they do it. It's amazing.
It's so, anytime I see it, I'm like, oh, here we go. These guys are great.
Obviously, we're huge Disney fans. We love Soul. We love Onward. Over the Moon, which was by DreamWorks, which premiered on Hulu not too long ago. If you've ever seen it, it's absolutely phenomenal.
Okay,
great movie. It's just a very fun movie. I love that. Wolfwalkers was weird and fun. I love the animation.
Yeah, the animation of that one looked very, very interesting. Yeah.
And again, this was a very, very well put together category, but Soul took it. And my buddy Paul, which we work with as well, like, he even said, like, was there any other question? And there really wasn't. I mean, Soul was so unique and inventive and really, like, dug in deep with some of the big questions. So, yeah, they definitely. And then the soundtrack for that movie was absolutely amazing.
Which they won for, which made me laugh, because when they called out the nominations, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross were also nominated for Mank. And so, when they were calling out the awards, you kind of see everybody waiting to see, okay, which one did they, because like Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross, and then they said the third guy for Soul, and they're like, oh, okay, Soul won. But
was it Joseph Baptiste?
Yeah. And I thought that was really funny, though, that Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross were nominated two times in the same category.
I loved his speech, by the way. His acceptance speech was absolutely beautiful.
It was awesome.
It's an amazing speech. Makeup and hairstyling, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which won.
I'm for that.
Absolutely for that. First two African-American women to win for makeup and hairstyling in Oscars history. Again, absolutely absurd in terms of them being the first two to win.
Yeah, it's weird that in our lifetime we're seeing that. I mean, it's great, but at the same time, it's like, dude,
it's 2021.
Yeah.
Been around for 93 years. You're telling me that we're picking now for them to win?
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing job, ladies. Congratulations.
Yes, very, very much
so. Emma was the other nominee for that. Hillbilly Elegy, Mank, and Pinocchio.
Yeah, I know. When I saw Pinocchio too, I was like, they made another one? I didn't even know
they made another one.
But I would have been okay with Emma, which I think usually if it's a period piece, like Emma, that's usually the one that wins, like almost 9 times out of 10. But I'm really glad that Ma Rainey's Black Bottom was the one that got that one.
Visual effects, winner was Tenet, and I will not even go through the other nominees because honestly, there wasn't any other question for visual effects.
There's no...
I mean, Love and Monsters was a... okay movie visually. It was great. Midnight Sky was good. Mulan was good. The one and only Ivan, which was also great. Mm-hmm. But Tenet was Christopher Nolan was out of this world.
Yeah, because, and the one thing I like about Christopher Nolan's movies, and you know, like this one and like Inception, which he won for as well for best visual effects, is there's visual effects in there, but then there's also special effects that are practical that they are able to do in camera. And I think that's why his movies always stand head and shoulders above everyone else, because there's stuff in Tenet that you're watching and you're just like, how in the hell? And then you look into it and you're like, that's a very simple technique, but he expands on it and makes it even more grand than what you're used to seeing, you know, like, yep. For instance, the spinning hallway, I don't know, Inception, the spinning hallway in Inception, you know, that contraption has been around since 2001, A Space Odyssey, but he used it in a way that you weren't expecting him to use it in, and it was beautiful. And same with Tenet, there was very basic stuff, just rewinding, you know, clips, but then he also included other aspects into it that you're like, what? It was beautiful. Yeah. So much deserved.
Much deserved win for visual effects. Cinematography, Mank. Winner, 100% agree. The cinematography for that movie was absolutely amazing. The other nominees were Judas and the Black Messiah, News of the World, Nomadland, Trials of Chicago 7. I would have picked News of the World to be the winner if Mank hadn't won. I watched that movie, I want to say a couple weeks ago.
You thought it was really great.
I thought it was fantastic. The cinematography on that was absolutely beautiful. And just the way they were able to capture the mood of the moments and the mood of the movie and how the movie was progressing was absolutely gorgeous.
I would have been really mad if Nomadland won. I've been really mad.
Super upset.
Because I get what they were doing. And when you watch the movie, you're also, if you've seen it, you understand what they're trying to do. But there's moments that you're just like, I can't see a single... I know she's there, but I can't see anything that she's doing.
That's what David Fincher wanted. He wanted that authenticity to feel like you're watching a 1940s, 1930s movie.
And I think with Mank, they succeeded 1,000% with that look.
And then when you watch it, you see the imperfections, you see the blips of the film rolling, even though it's not rolling, you know it's not.
Yeah.
You see those imperfections, and that's what they wanted. Mm-hmm. The shots. I think there's a scene where they're talking in an office and the actor is facing someone and talking, and all you're looking at is the back of his back and the back of his head while he's talking as he's at the door. And that's how those movies were made. And that's how it was.
Yeah, I thought that was just great. And then just so you know, we talked about it in our other episode, but there is no print of it in color. He shot it in black and white, and that's the only footage he looked at was black and white footage.
Next one, film editing. Film editing, Sound of Metal 1, absolutely phenomenal.
Yes.
Well deserved. Other nominees, The Father, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, Trial of Chicago 7. I want to talk about Harrison Ford's speech prior to this film, because he came out and he's like, I'm going to read you a couple notes. And he pulls out this piece of paper. And he starts reading all this negative comments, just one by one. Film gets worse every time I watch it.
Yeah, every cut you give us, it's getting worse. Yeah.
This guy doesn't know how to act. He's not delivering his line. The best part wasn't even the ending.
Yeah.
And he's like, this movie was Blade Runner. And everybody in the audience was like, just starts laughing. But he made it a point. And it was, at first I was like, okay, he's going a little dark. But then he was like, look, film editing, the way you put a movie together kind of works and just brings everything together.
Yeah.
And then he gets into the nominees. I've never heard anybody do that.
Yeah, I'm glad he did that, because it was, and it's true, the film editing makes the movie. And, you know, and I'm going to get a little film class here. So, I'm also an editor, not a good editor, but I'm an editor, and I've studied editing. And so when you write your movie, let's think of it as a house. When you write your movie, the screenplay, that's the blueprints of the house. When you film the movie, literally on set, action, lights, camera, actors, you're not making the movie. You're gathering the pieces for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you gather all the pieces, the editor, then he makes the movie. And so a lot of people think on the set is the movie making process. It's like, it is, it's part of it, but their actual movie making is the editor in his room, in his office, in his underwear, at a computer, putting together all these clips to make it all work together.
You know, and he said before he announced the nominees that it takes a different breed of person to edit a movie. Like, you really have to be passionate about movies to do that job. And you can tell that when Sound of Metal 1 and the editor came up in his speech to everybody involved in the film. I think he said a line that he actually you know, went home every day feeling proud of what he was doing for the first time in a long time. Like that, it takes a lot of passion to do that job. And if you've watched Sound of Metal, the way that movie is put together and how everything is mm-hmm. just seamlessly just flows is absolutely beautiful. And I think it's a well-deserved win. Out of the other nominees, again, I haven't seen The Father, so I can't really speak to that one. But out of the other three, I think Sound of Metal deserved that win.
I think it deserved it. And if it didn't win, Trial of Chicago 7 could have easily taken that. But I'm really glad that Sound of Metal won. And he did, in his speech, say, like, I want to thank my wife and my kids for also letting me, you know, go into the other love of my life, which is editing. Because you're right, it's a different breed of a person to do that. Because I think it was Michael, what's his name? Is it Khan or the guy who edits most of all of Steven Spielberg's movies? He says he'll be editing and he'll be working on something, and then his wife will be like, "All right, you done?" And he's like, "No, I've only been working for like 5 minutes." And he's like, "It's been 8 hours." And you're like, "Oh." And that's what an editor does, man. An editor will sit there looking at clip after clip after clip, figuring out how to make it all work. And it's a beautiful process. And it's one of those jobs in Hollywood that a lot of people don't really appreciate.
Yeah,
and it's the most important job in the whole movie.
You know, it's crazy to think like what kind of power the editor has in a movie. Because if you go back even to, you know, you can go back to George Lucas with Star Wars Episode I. There's scenes in there where he'll take the 15th take of one scene, but then blend it with a second take of another scene because the actor acting across from the other one did better on the second scene.
Yeah.
On the second take. So he blends those two, but his mouth isn't right. So he'll take the 11th take and blend his mouth into that and make one seamless scene. And just like, how is that even possible? It's crazy.
About Star Wars. We're going to get a little. So here's a fun fact. So in Star Wars Episode IV, New Hope, whenever Luke is there with Obi-Wan and they're in his hut and they start talking about the Father, the Force, and the Rebellion and all that, the scene was actually flipped to where they talked about the Force and all that first, and then they talked about the Rebellion all that second. And then so what they did was they actually flipped it in the editing room to make it make sense. And so what they did was they said, it was Paul Hirsch was like, so what I did was when he looks over at R2, I had R2 be the split. So then we just put the other part of the scene here, and you put this part here, and then it all works. And you watch the movie, and you're like, yeah.
It seamlessly
works. And that's the power of the editor, is you can look at something and be like, ooh, this is probably going to work better than that. And then there you go. And so Sound of Metal, if you haven't seen it, see it, watch it. It's a beautifully made movie, and it flows just perfectly. Yeah,
and the way the movie goes, it's absolutely gorgeous. And again, hats off to Sound of Metal for winning that.
Very true.
Production design, Mank.
So glad it won production design.
I don't think there's any other, like, you look at The Father, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, News of the World, and Tenet. Like, that's a very stacked category. That's a
huge category.
But Mank, if I'm looking at all five of these movies, and I'm like, Mank was the clear cut winner in my opinion.
And plus, Hollywood likes movies about Hollywood. All right. Yeah. Last year, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood won. It won production design as well. Mm-hmm. It deserved it. Don't get me wrong, but a lot of people said, like, they were like, well, it's just because they made it look like Hollywood. You know, they made it look like 1960s Hollywood.
And you're right, Hollywood likes Hollywood, but that wasn't the only reason that Mank won.
Yeah, and then if you really watch Mank, the detail they put in all those scenes, especially the giant hall that William Hirst lived in, the house, and it was like, good grief, like, how did y'all do that? But The Father is also one. And that's, like I said, when you watch it, you're going to realize it. I know you're going to catch it too. You're going to be like, oh, I need to be looking in the background. Oh shit. You know, like, that's what you're going to be doing. Tenet. That's a great looking movie. And then what was the other one? Was it Ma Rainey's Black?
Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. That one, I mean, it's two sets that they lived in.
It's a two set movie with a little bit on the road, and it's okay. I'm not being a dick, but you can tell it is a play. Mm-hmm. Like the first scene when they're all downstairs talking, I looked it up and I was like, this is a play. And I was like, yeah, it is.
It's definitely
a play. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Again, a very stacked category. Mank, by far, probably the winner, in my opinion. Tenet would have been my second pick.
Yeah.
News of the World, absolutely amazing. But it's all scenery. Like, yeah. It's all rustic, old Western town. And then when they're traveling across Texas, it's all just natural scenery. And
yeah.
It's absolutely gorgeous the way the movie was produced, or the design of the movie. But again, Mank, Tenet would have been my two clear-cut winners.
Fair enough.
And then this one, they did something different with sound this year. They combined two categories, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so normally sound is sound mixing and sound editing. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is sometimes the same movie will win, and then sometimes one movie will win mixing and one will win editing. And this was a year that we were talking about it yesterday, and I said mixing should have gone to Mank. Editing should have gone to Sound of Metal. They should have split them. But since this year, I guess it's kind of confusing not trying to be a jerk, but it's kind of confusing for some people to understand, like, what's the mix, what's the edit. Mm-hmm. So I think this year they just combined both of them and they said, it's just sound, best sound. That's all we're going to call it. And Sound of Metal was the winner.
Yeah. Sound of Metal, the sound of that movie and the way they and for me, it's the way they transition from how you normally hear to what happens when you're losing your hearing or when you've already lost it completely, and how they're able to make that transition seamlessly and flawlessly. I think that's, for me, that's what won it. Mank was also nominated, Greyhound, News of the World, and Soul. Soul was a tough one to beat. Soul was... Soul was mainly for me, it was more of the soundtrack than anything else.
Gotcha.
I don't think it was really sound editing or mixing. I think it was just the soundtrack
that made Soul so great.
Mank, I can see just the way that movie is made. I can see the sound editing and mixing part of that. But Sound of Metal for me was a clear cut winner.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to disagree. But no, like I said, if it had been split, sound editing definitely would have gone to Sound of Metal, and the mix would have gone to Mank, because even when they showed that clip of Mank, they showed it with other movies. Like, they showed like this movie, and then they showed Mank, and when you hear them talking, you're just like, oh my gosh, like, they did it. Like, they made it sound super old, and that took a lot of work for them to do. But let me ask you this question. In Sound of Metal, and I don't want to give anything away, I mean, you probably already know what happens in the movie, but that moment toward the beginning when it happens, when he's there and it just goes, did you gasp or did your mouth drop? Like, what was your reaction?
My mouth dropped.
Yeah, my mouth dropped too.
I was, because I knew what the movie was about going into it. I knew,
It says in the trailer, okay, so we're not giving anything away.
And you read the description when you're renting it on Amazon or watching it on Amazon, or not renting it, it's free.
Yeah, it's free. Watch it on Amazon,
And you read the description, you know what's going to happen. But when it happens, and I think they're standing outside in the alleyway when it happens.
Yeah, they're getting their merchandise ready and they're talking, and then it just
stops.
And his
reaction
was the most beautiful, because he just stops too and he just looks around, and I was like, oh man, which is why I said if Anthony Hopkins didn't win, I wanted Riz Ahmed to win hands down, because so the sound mix for and the sound editing for Sound of Metal was really, really great, and I'm glad it won. So
now we're getting into the other awards, international feature film, which I didn't really watch a lot of international movies other than Another Round.
Yeah.
So they won.
My buddy Ryan is like all about that movie. He thought it was one of the best movies of last year.
Another Round. I thought it was a great movie. I thought, Mads Mikkelsen did a fantastic job in that movie. It was fantastic. It was well made. I didn't watch any of the other nominees.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't really speak to that one.
And I'm glad they're there. I'm glad we do have an international category, but I just hate that you don't get to see them until after the Oscars.
Yeah.
So,
documentary short. I honestly didn't watch any of these short films.
When it gets to these awards, I know it sounds terrible. I don't keep up with any of the.
I did watch, however, My Octopus Teacher.
How was that?
It was very unique, very uniquely made. I didn't know what to expect when watching it. you end up, the way it makes you feel towards the end, like you end up like really connecting with the octopus as well as the people involved with the production of it. And it's just like, it's very immersive. And I didn't watch a lot of the other ones. I did watch Time. That was a documentary that came out on Amazon. I did watch that one. I thought that one was really good, but it was rough in terms of, man, like this hits hard. Like it was rough to watch in that sense. Not that it was slow or methodic. It was just like you have to have a box of tissues.
Jeez. Just like when you watch The Father.
Yeah. I didn't watch any of the live action short films. Animated short film. Didn't watch any of those. Original screenplay went to Emerald Fennell for Promising Young Woman. And this, I think this was well deserved. There's one scene in there.
I'm sorry, guys. I just
towards the end of the movie where she, and spoiler alert, she's being strangled with a pillow.
And big spoiler alert. Sorry,
guys. Big spoiler alert. She's being strangled.
You should have done a bigger warning besides that.
But I mean,
Anyway.
If you haven't watched it by now,
come on. What are you doing?
It came out a long time ago. It's been available for a while. You haven't watched it.
Okay. So she's being strangled.
And you had told me this little aspect when she's writing and directing the movie. She asked her father-in-law, who is a law enforcement professional. Don't know if he's a cop or detective or, works for the feds, but he is a law enforcement professional. He asked her, which I thought was a very random, weird question to ask at dinner, how long does it take to strangle someone with a pillow? And he said 2 minutes. And so when you watch the scene, it's 2 minutes of her being strangled.
And it's very uncomfortable.
It really is.
It was like, I was like on the edge of my seat hoping something else was going to happen. But then...
But the whole story, the way it builds up, and the story that's being told, and it leads to that moment, and you're just like, oh my God, I am not mad that this one original screen.
No, I'm not mad either. It was one of the most unique movies in a very long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, and from the trailer, I remember thinking, oh, okay, I get what this is. I kind of get where this is going to go.
When she spits in that guy's coffee, like, I was like, oh my God, yeah. All right, we're going here.
Yeah, Bo Burnham, of all actors, Bo Burnham was awesome in that movie, But yeah, and then the third act, once the third act started, I was like, whoa, this is nothing like I thought it was going to be. And the resolution at the very end of it is just beautiful. Yeah. It was such the last line, the last thing you read, I'm not going to say what it is, but the last thing you read at the end of the movie makes you just go like, nice. And it was.
And it addresses a lot of issues that women go through on a daily basis, both professionally and personally in life, in their surrounding environments. And it really hit home for a lot of people. I know my wife really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But she was like, oh my God, that was kind of intense.
Yeah. My wife also really, really enjoyed it. And I'm going to say best cameo of the year should have gone to Alfred Molina as the lawyer.
I wanted more of Alfred Molina.
So I said that to my wife. My wife was like, be careful though, because now you're sounding like a sexist pig saying like you wanted him in the movie more than you wanted.
Dude, but his two or three minutes of acting, I was just like, holy crap. Like it even like, so the whole time the protagonist is just a strong woman. She plays mind games with her prey. She's very intimidating. And she had the same attention when walking into his house. And then as soon as she sat down, the tables turned and she immediately felt sorry for him because she saw the pain and agony that he was going through mentally.
I think it all starts, though, with when he opens the door and she tells him who she is. And he says, I've been waiting for you. It's about time. And you're like, and then he's so the blocking of this is he's sitting across from her. But then he stands up and he slowly starts coming toward her. And then he just like falls on his knees in front of her. And she like flinches and she's like terrified. He's not going to hurt her. But it was just like for the one time she sees that this guy genuinely is just heartbroken for what he did. And
rock bottom.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. I didn't even know he was in the movie. Like when he opened the door, I was like, oh, Alfred Molina, okay. And then I was like, oh my God.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Again, best original screenplay. All hats off to Emerald Fennell for writing that. That was amazing.
Very, very good.
The other nominees was Will Burson and Shaka King for Judas and the Black Messiah, Lee Isaac Chung for Minari, Darius Martyr and Abraham Martyr for Sound of Metal, and Aaron Sorkin for Trial of Chicago 7.
She beat out Aaron Sorkin, just so we know.
She beat out Aaron Sorkin. I honestly would have, if she hadn't won, I probably would have picked Sound of Metal.
Yeah, me too.
I need to be honest with you, because it's one, we saw the power of digging into the death community with, what was that one movie that came out a couple years ago? Where if you made a sound, the monsters would come out
Quiet Place.
Quiet Place. We saw the power of what happens when you get involved with the death community. And that movie was absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. 100% sign language, hardly any talking. And the actors and actresses in that movie did a fantastic job. This one explores more the death community. And then you get into the side that really speaks the drug addiction, the communities within the community. Like you really start seeing in depth some of the struggles that a lot of these people go through, especially if they're not born deaf.
That was the big thing of the movie, is that he's not born, you know, deaf. You know, then what does that do to a person? Like, how mentally would you react? Like, how, like me, I couldn't imagine like how I would just freak out if it happened to me.
I even told my wife whenever we watched, I was like, I couldn't imagine just being in my own head the entire time, not knowing what people are saying around me, or, you know, just being in my own head throughout the day.
It's
not being able to hear something that I've heard every day of my life. You know what I mean? Like, it crazy story. Again, if she hadn't won for Promising Young Woman, I would have wanted Sound of Metal to win this category.
I agree.
The best adapted screenplay went to Christopher Hampton and Florian Zeller for The Father. Other nominees was Borat, subsequent movie film. I'm not going to read off
everybody.
I'm not going to read off everybody who was involved with that, because there was a lot. Chloe Zhao for Nomadland, Kent Powers for One Night in Miami, and Ramin Baharani for The White Tiger. I'm good with The Father, honestly.
I mean, I was really glad The Father won. And because
my next pick would have been Chloe Zhao for Nomadland, because of what she did with that movie and how she made that adapted that book into what was made. I haven't seen The Father, but just given from what she told me, like I think it really pretty much deserved this award.
Yeah, because it was a play. And he brought in the other screenwriter to help him make it into the movie, to make it actually flow. Okay, I don't want to be a jerk, but Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, I don't think it was given that much of a
adaptation.
I mean, it was. I'm not gonna lie. There's probably a thousand things they had to change in there, but there's moments in there that you're like, oh, this is just a play. We're watching a play on screen. They cut back and forth. But with The Father, you could tell that they purposely tried to make it into the movie that it is. And when you watch it, you could tell like, oh, this is all one location. But the way they did it, the way they shot it, it was really well made to be a movie. So I'm really glad that won.
And last but not least, best original score went to Soul. Other nominees was The Five Bloods, Mank, Minari, and News of the World. Honestly, Soul was a clear-cut winner, in my opinion. It was absolutely phenomenal. And the way they were able to explore the jazz world and how they bring that to how they were able to make a film around that was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
The last one on here was costume design, which went to Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Again, that could have went to Emma or Mank, but Ma Rainey's Black Bottom was, you know what I mean? It could have been either one of those. I think they chose the better one with Ma Rainey's, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the way they made Viola Davis look was really, but then again, it was a movie where they complimented each other, where she just completely took over that character, and the, like, her mannerisms and the costume they have on her. and she's always sweating. Like, that was what I was blown away by, was that they always made it look like she was sweating. Mm-hmm. And that was what made it authentic. And that, what was that, Bohemian Rhapsody a few years ago? You know, Rami Malek's out there running around, like, you know, Freddie Mercury. And then somebody made the comment that, like, they couldn't figure out how to get the sweat on him. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're right. He's completely
dry
the whole movie. Yeah. And then but when you watch the actual concert, man, he was up there sweating like crazy. And so when I'm watching this movie, it was like, whoa, like, you felt when she's over there fanning herself. I'm like, dude, she's hot. Like, she needs to
sit down.
She needs to sit down. And when she does, then she sits down, you know. And so that was, I'm glad that they gave them those awards. But again, I wish she would have won Best Actress. Yeah. She was just the best in that movie.
So that's our take on the Oscars, our likes, our dislikes.
Yeah.
All in all, 2020 was a weird year. We're lucky we even had an Oscar, and we're lucky we had movies to even qualify for Oscars.
Very true. It was the least watched Oscars in history.
It was.
And I think it's mostly because people didn't even watch half of the movies that were nominated.
Exactly. And this year, 2021, with everything going on and movie theaters back on the rise, I think mm-hmm. we're seeing more. I think AMC Warner Brothers has struck a deal with AMC for 2022 to have all their feature films released.
Was it Regal or AMC?
AMC.
AMC, okay.
Have all their deals released in theaters. And this year, they're releasing simultaneously on streaming and in theaters. But more and more people are going to movie theaters now. Capacities are being increased depending on where you're living. And so I think we're going to see a lot more movies coming out. And our favorite pick for the year is coming out in this October, which we can't wait for.
Dune. Oh my God, I'm so excited for Dune.
So anyway, hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you so much.
We appreciate everything you guys do for us. And yeah, have a nice day.
Yes, take care.